Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Pegasus Bridge by Stephen E. Ambrose is a focused narrative history of one of the most decisive opening actions of the D-Day invasion. Anvace centered on the British 6th Airborne Division and the daring night assault led by Major John Howard. The book explains why two small bridges over the Caen Canal and the River Orne mattered so much to the success of Allied landings in Normandy. Ambrose reconstructs the planning, training, and execution of the glider-borne coup de main that seized the bridges in minutes, then follows the tense hours and days as lightly armed paratroopers and infantry held against counterattacks until relieved by forces landing from the beaches. Known for clear storytelling and extensive use of veteran interviews, Ambrose emphasizes the human side of combat, the importance of leadership under pressure, and the role of luck and improvisation. The result is an accessible account that connects a single objective to the larger strategy of Operation Overlord. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why two bridges could shape D-Day. A major strength of the book is its explanation of strategic purpose without losing narrative momentum. Ambrose shows that the bridges near what became known as Pegasus Bridge were not random targets but key terrain that could determine whether German armored forces would strike the Allied eastern flank. By seizing and holding crossings over the Caen Canal and the Orne, the airborne troops aimed to protect the landing beaches from rapid counterattack and preserve access routes for Allied troops moving inland. The reader is guided through the basic operational logic to deny the enemy mobility while securing Allied mobility. Ambrose also situates this local action inside the broader Overlord plan, where timing mattered as much as firepower. If the bridges were destroyed, Allied forces could be delayed by engineering constraints and exposed to greater danger if the bridges remained in German hands. Reinforcements could surge toward Sword Beach. This framing turns the story into more than an isolated raid. It becomes a case study in how geography, infrastructure, and tempo interact in modern war, and why small unit missions can carry outsized operational consequences. Secondly, selection, training, and the culture of the airborne. Ambrose devotes significant attention to the men chosen for the mission and the preparation that made a near impossible task achievable. The narrative highlights the distinctive ethos of airborne forces, volunteers operating with high risk, high initiative, and a strong sense of identity. The book describes how Major John Howard and his company trained for precision, speed, and coordination, repeatedly rehearsing movements that had to succeed at night, under confusion, and in seconds. The emphasis is not simply on physical toughness, but on discipline and decision-making under stress. Readers see how training reduces complexity by turning critical actions into habit, while still leaving room for improvisation when reality diverges from plan. Ambrose also shows how leadership is built before combat, through standards, trust, and clarity of roles. The airborne culture of self-reliance mattered because glider troops and paratroopers often landed scattered, short on heavy weapons, and forced to fight immediately, by focusing on preparation. The book invites a practical lesson: extraordinary performance in crisis is usually the visible outcome of invisible repetition, careful selection, and a team that understands both the mission and each other. Thirdly, the night glider assault and split-second execution. At the heart of Pegasus Bridge is the account of the glider landings and the initial attack, a sequence that reads like a technical and human drama at once. Ambrose conveys why the coup de main approach was so risky. Gliders had to land extremely close to the objective in darkness, with minimal margin for navigational error, and troops had to transition instantly from landing shock to coordinated assault. The book follows the logic of speed and surprise, showing how the attackers aimed to overwhelm defenders before they could organize demolitions or effective resistance. Ambrose draws attention to the small details that decide outcomes in such raids, including navigation, landing accuracy, communication breakdowns, and the ability of junior leaders to act without waiting for orders. The assault is portrayed as both planned and chaotic, with success depending on a blend of rehearsed drills and adaptability. This topic also underscores the psychological dimension, the fear of being isolated, the adrenaline of close combat, and the clarity that can appear when a mission is narrowly defined. The result is a vivid example of how shock action works when time is the most limited resource. Fourthly, holding the objective against counterattack. Seizing a bridge is only the beginning, and Ambrose makes the defense phase feel just as consequential as the assault. Once the crossings were captured, the airborne troops faced the problem that defines light infantry operations: limited ammunition, few heavy weapons, uncertain resupply, and the expectation of enemy reaction. The book describes the tense hours as German units probed, attacked, and tried to regain control, while the defenders built hasty positions and coordinated with other airborne elements landing nearby. Ambrose illustrates the importance of fieldcraft and prioritization, such as deciding where to place scarce anti-tank weapons, how to cover approaches, and how to maintain morale when relief is delayed. Leadership again emerges as a decisive factor, not only at the top, but among NCOs and junior officers managing casualties and confusion. The defense also highlights how friction accumulates and war messages arrive late, plans collide with reality, and the battlefield becomes a contest of endurance and nerve. By tracking the struggle to hold until ground forces could link up, the book presents a grounded view of what victory costs, even when the initial objective is achieved quickly. Lastly, leadership, memory, and how history is told. Beyond the action, Ambrose uses the Pegasus Bridge episode to explore what makes effective leadership and how wartime experiences are remembered. The narrative foregrounds Major John Howard and other leaders, showing traits that matter under extreme pressure: calm presence, clear intent, and the ability to empower subordinates. Ambrose also emphasizes camaraderie and cohesion, suggesting that shared hardship and belief in the mission can sustain performance when logistics and numbers are against you. Equally important is the book's method, which is widely associated with interviews and veterans' accounts. That approach gives immediacy to events while also raising interesting questions about perspective, selective memory, and how individual experiences combine into a collective story. The book, therefore, works on two levels: a tactical history of a key operation and a portrait of the people who carried it out. Readers come away with a sense of how small decisions ripple outward, and how recognition, commemoration, and naming, including the adoption of the term Pegasus Bridge, shape public understanding of the campaign. This topic frames the book as both military history and an exploration of the human need to make meaning from combat. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a tightly focused, story-driven entry point into D-Day and the Airborne War in Normandy. Military history enthusiasts will appreciate the clear connection between a specific objective and the wider Overlord plan, while general readers will find the human-scale storytelling approachable without requiring deep prior knowledge. The practical value lies in how the book demonstrates decision-making under uncertainty, preparation that anticipates chaos, leadership that communicates intent, and teamwork that sustains performance when circumstances turn against you. Those themes translate beyond history into lessons about planning, resilience, and accountability. Compared with broader D-Day surveys that must cover many fronts at once, Pegasus Bridge offers a concentrated case study with a beginning, middle, and end, making it easier to understand how operations actually unfold on the ground. Ambrose also helps the reader feel the stakes of minutes and meters, which can be lost in more panoramic accounts. If you are choosing between similar World War II titles, this one is worth buying because it combines strategic context with a memorable, self-contained narrative that illustrates why small unit actions can decide the fate of much larger campaigns. If you would like to support Stephen E. Ambrose, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts.